I think there's times that we just, we don't even think in this realm, but all of us are in need of each other's prayers. Mm-hmm. On a continued basis, praying for one another. We know so little, we experience so little of what God has. Mm-hmm. May God give us hearts even this morning to look at this very familiar area and allow us to partake of something. And when I say partake, that you take and do something with it. We hear and we hear and we hear, and we do so little with what we hear. As we were saying last week, you know, do we really believe that God is speaking to us? If we do, we have to do something with what God is saying. If we don't believe God is speaking to us, then we need to say that. Where we can pray and look to the Lord that God can speak to us. It's very important that we respond to the Lord, and God has made ever provision for us. And I know that we all know these and can probably look at these provisions and say, yes, why are we at the place that we're at? With all of God's provisions, Himself, His power, His knowledge, everything that He's given us, why aren't we making more progress? I'm talking about growing in grace. I'm not just talking about knowledge in our minds, I'm talking about growing and experiencing God. Because I think it should be the goal of each one of our lives, to know the Lord. And I believe this is what Paul was speaking about, that when he said there, that I may know Him. I think it was not just in more knowledge about God, but actually experiencing God. This morning I just want to look at an area that's is so commonplace to us, and what we use the word so often that sometimes we fear that, I do anyway, that can we really hear what God wants to say to us? I know as I looked at this area, and I've been looking at it for some time, I see how far short I come from what God wants. I know God can only work it, and that makes me more open and more responsive to God and in every situation. That is, if I believe God's word and what He says to us, then I must open up my heart. I must be willing to think upon areas. I must be willing to put these areas into practice. Because without us allowing something to affect us in our expression, we're only fooling ourselves. We're only kidding ourselves. And I know that we're not out here this morning to just waste time, put in time, but to meet with God, that God can speak to us. A little word that I want to look at this morning, and I hope all of us can look at it with hearts that are open to Him. Because we think we know about it, we don't know about it, we speak about it, we tell each other we love you, but yet we just go on our own ways, and the expression of what God says love is falls way short, and we all know it. But just to come to grips with this before God, because God's the only one, and I'm talking about love. I'm not talking about the humanistic emotional feeling of what man calls love. I'm talking about the word agape, which is the very love of God. I know that we read about it, we hear about it, but I find that we're not allowing it to affect us and move through us as God has provided for us. What God is looking for, the expression that God is looking for. We must have God if it's going to find an expression through us. We must know God in power. We must know God in reality. We can't just talk about the things of God. We must know the ability of God, because unless you do, you cannot love. Love, I guess, takes one of the greatest efforts of our lives to express it and to live in it. It takes effort in union with God. And to live in God is to live in love. It's just like living in light. Well, God is love, and to live in love is to live in God, live in union with God. I cannot love, you cannot love. You think you can, because your expression, my expression of love, when I look at it in the light of the Word for it to examine me, I see how far short I fall. But brother, that don't condemn me. Because when God reveals light, I know there's hope. God never opens up and shows me how far short I come without showing me how far He can take me. So I don't stand condemned when we're talking about these areas. I don't mind God finding me out. In fact, I pray, God, expose me. Expose those things that I'm trusting in so that I can trust in You, that I can live this life in faith, that it can become not only practical in my life, but that it will move through me with the fullness of sincerity and pureness. I'm sure this is what all of us desire, with what little knowledge. And I'm talking about now, most of our knowledge is head knowledge. We need to experience it. But it's an effort. I mean, where the love of God takes us, where this love that Paul speaks about, that John speaks about, it's a love that takes us all the way to the cross. Now, we can't die for the world. But we can give ourselves to one another as Christ gave Himself for us. First thing, if you want to, and we're talking about it in other areas, of course. Let me say it again. In trusting that God will speak to every one of us. He's speaking to me about it. We don't have time to love. Now, this is not to condemn us. This is just to show us. We don't have time to love. We don't have time to love one another as God has seen fit. Our lives are filled with everything else that rotates around us rather than around others. Love gives to others. I'm talking about the love of God now. I'm not talking about our emotions. I'm not talking about a feeling. I'm talking about the very nature, the very love of God. It's the most powerful thing in the world. And yet it's a place that brings us to meekness, brings us to reveal the very nature and expression of God Himself. It's a tremendous thing. It's high, it's low. You wherever you want to find it, it's there. That is, if we're in union with God, if we're moving in God. I put down His love, and that's what I'm looking for. I'm not looking for just feelings, because I have found, and I think most of you sitting here have found, some of you young people may not have found it yet, but love is more than feelings. And if you think love is feelings, you're going to be deceived. It's the most deceiving thing there is, and that's why we have so many areas of trouble in the world around about us. They do not know what love is. They live by their own emotional values, rather than by the love that gives. We're talking about love that gives. Now, let me bring out some very practical, we know this, you maybe get tired of hearing about it. Love between a husband and his wife. Why don't we love? We don't have time to love. We don't have time to take, to listen, to serve, to give ourselves. You just have to take stock. Because if you're going to know love, if you're going to know the working out of love in your marriage, or in the future, your marriage, you're going to have time to work it out. Love between your children and you. Greatest thing is lacking. It takes time. Takes involvement. It's not something that's just soupy. It's not just kissing them once in a while and hugging them and coming alongside once in a while. It's actually giving yourself for them. It takes time. It takes a will. Not only do I want to do it, I know that's the only way that what God says is going to be accomplished. My life, because it's going to do something in me, it's going to do something in my children. It takes time, it's slow, because it's life. It doesn't all come in on us at one time. We can't always see the effects, you know, just right now. But what I'm talking about are eternal things that are building for eternity. And it doesn't come any other way, even though we may think it does. It doesn't come any other way except if you and I give ourselves as Christ gave himself. Rightly understood now. He came and laid down his life that we could live. To give of our time is laying down our life to where we're not living for ourselves. We've got time for God. We've got time for his working. Where is he working? He's working everywhere. He's working amongst us. Working between husband and wife. He's working between the husband, the wife, and their children. There's maybe different areas of working between children, between husband and wife. But if you do not love, you will have no respect. Husband or wife? Children? There will be no respect. No honoring unless love is being expressed. And you just think through it. Let God speak to your heart. Take time to think. You know, we can think in God. We can think and know these things and know the reality of them. Because it's not enough to read 1 Corinthians 13. Put any word you want in there. King James put charity. Put love in there, because that's what it means. The thing is, I've got to see it worked out. I've got to see lives laid down. I've got to lay down my life. Because if I'm not laying down my life, I'm not loving. It just doesn't add up. There's not the working out. I don't have patience. I'm not long-suffering unless I am loving. Unless love is working in my heart, the attributes of love are not there. I'm short. I don't have time. I want everybody else to do something, but I don't want to give of myself. The only thing that's going to work is love, and that love is giving of myself. Now, you may say, I don't have time. I've got other obligations. Beloved, you don't have any obligations. You cannot say this morning that you don't have time, because God can show you that this is the only thing that matters. This is the only thing that matters. So we better get to the working. Drop everything else. Just get to the working of God. To start to see the reality of this by fruits. What fruits are we looking for? When we say that we're looking for love, what am I really looking for? What is the testimony that I'm looking for? Because unless we love, this will not be in expression. What I'm looking for is union and oneness. The one fruit that will stand for eternity but will be worked out right now in this time is that oneness with God and that oneness with each other. We give it so little value. We like to witness with our mouth. But oh, that we could witness collectively by knowing the love of God that binds us together. Make them one as we are one, that the world may know that thou hast sent me. That's the greatest witness. That's the fruit that we're looking for when love is working. It takes time. Love is not in one of these fast food lines. Love is life. Life being laid down, taking time with each other. As I say, something we can hear time after time and never do anything about it. Only thing I can say this morning, you better mark it down. Not for my sake, for your own sake. Mark it down. Bring it before God. Pray about it. Let God speak to you and stay there until God does speak to you about it, because it is the most important area. There's no other area that takes the preeminence more than this area. In every expression of our life, in your contact with the world, with your contact with sinners, your contact with your family, your contact with each other as man and wife. Nothing takes the preeminence of love. That's why I say we know so little about it. We read about it and we think, because we have the knowledge now in our mind what is to do, that we're doing it. We're not doing it. We're falling short of doing it. And every time you read it before God and ask the Spirit, you find out you're falling short, and He can strengthen you. This is not falling short and just sitting down there pitying yourself and saying, well, what do I do? When He reveals that you're falling short, this is a place that you can respond, and God can give you the ability. Who gives you the ability to love? God. You don't have the ability within yourself. Only God gives you the ability to love. Only God in you can love. And that's why your union with God is so important. Your union with God, so that the love of God can pour through you, can flow through you to others. We need to know what love is, because love moves with purpose. Love does not just say, well, God just wants me to overlook everything. No, love does not overlook anything. That's a wrong concept. Love never overlooks anything. Love moves with understanding. But on the other side, love is meek and gentle. It's kind. Love is patient, long-suffering. I didn't know about love. And for me to know about love, I must know God. I must experience God. Maybe you get tired of listening to that. Experiencing God, knowing God. Living in union with Him. But if you get tired of that, I know you're not experiencing it, because if you're experiencing it, you'll never get tired of it. I say that from experience. You never get tired as long as God is adding to your life. And the only way that there can be an addition in my life is if there's a greater expression of love. What love does move with wisdom. It doesn't just move out here for the sake of moving. So it brings each one of us to a place of responsibility. We say love, and we just think that, as I've already said, that just covers everything, and I can do what I want to, and I can look at people and have associations with people. No. Now you need to look at the life of Jesus, the fullness of love that was expressed, and then you need Him to work in you and through you to let you have understanding, because I'm not talking about head knowledge, I'm talking about experiencing. And you'll see that it is a giving. It's like Jesus spoke to the rich young ruler, take up your cross and follow me. He also said, deny yourself before you take up the cross. And that's the one thing we don't seem to want to do. in this hour. That's why as you read about different ones in different countries, they don't have anything to give up. They're down to that place. They have given up everything. It's been taken from them. They're cast upon the Lord. This morning we need to cast ourselves upon the Lord for one reason. For His love's sake. Because He loves us. You can't love God separate from the love that He gives you. Don't think, I can love God. I love God. You can't say, I love God unless you're willing to keep His commandments. And I'm not talking about a set of rules. I'm talking about the living Word that's coming to you by the Spirit. Don't tell me we love God, because it's only as we keep His commandments that that love is going to be perfected in our lives. And we'll touch on a few of those scriptures here in a moment. In the third chapter of Ephesians, place that I feel that we have really not touched into, we touch each other in a very small way. When I say that, we're reaching out and starting to move with each other in a little bit. Just as much as we have time, and as I've already said, we don't have too much time, so it's not being done too much. I'm not being critical. I'm just saying this needs to envelop our life. Our life should be here to do the will of God. To move together. Let's go ahead and look at it for a minute. Everybody there? Mm-hmm. Ephesians? The more I read it, the greater hunger I have for it. Still haven't got it. You got to move in it. You got to experience it. Most of us think because we read it and we rejoice in it because we know it's truth. But maybe this was just for the Ephesians. No. It's for all of God's children. Let me just read a few verses of this area. Beginning to read in the 14th verse of the third chapter of Ephesians. For this cause I bow my knee unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, to whom the whole family of God in heaven and earth is named. That He would grant to you according to the riches of His glories to be strengthened with might by His Spirit in the inner man. In other words, if we're going to move in this, we're going to need the strength of God. We're going to need His ability. You can't move in this in your own. And this was the first thing that Paul was praying about. Let me read it again to you. To be strengthened with might. No small thing. To be strengthened with might by His Spirit in the inner man. That Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that you being rooted and grounded in love. Can we even say that we're rooted and grounded? If you are, praise the Lord. Say it. If you're not, it's a place first to move. Now, if you didn't come this morning looking for a place to move, then you came to the wrong place. The church is a moving place. The body of Christ is something that's moving. It's not stagnant. It's not standing still. It's moving. And as God brings light to us, we need to move in it. That Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that you being rooted and grounded in love. That's where you begin. It's got to be the rooting and grounding in love. I don't like the time. I like the time it takes to be rooted in ground. That means my life is down into God, down into love. There's something flowing through me. I'm abiding in Him. That's the only way that His love can flow in and through me, if I'm abiding in Him. That takes activity. Abiding. John speaks about it over there in 1 John, I think, in the second chapter, when he speaks about the anointing. And then he says, abide in Him. He's not going to leave us without the proper understanding. That anointing is going to give us understanding. It's going to teach us all things. But we're going to have to abide in Him. Now, we think abiding is just something that we just... no effort. Abiding by faith takes effort. We've been taught so long that Christianity is nothing more than just letting God hold me up, take me along. We don't realize that it involves us. We've taken and believe the lie. I'm not saying we're going to do anything. He's going to give us everything. He's going to work it, give us the power to be what we're supposed to be. But if we're going to move, it's going to take effort. The first thing it's going to take is desire. A desire that's compelling me enough to move me. If you don't have that desire this morning, you're not going to move. You'll just be words. But unless the desire of God grips your heart, you'll never move. You'll never take a step in faith. You'll never be grounded. You'll never give God a place to where He can build in you all that He desires. And everything He desires is to bring you to full stature in Christ. I know you can't understand, and I can't either. Because He's God, but that's what He said He was going to do, and that's what He is doing. That's not what He might do, that's what He is doing. The question that I always ask myself, am I a part of that? Am I enthused? Am I encouraged? Because everything that this is must speak to me. If it don't speak to me, how can it speak to you? May be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth, the length, and the depth, and the height. And to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that we might be filled with all of the fullness of God. Now, if I'm wrong, stop me. But it looks like to me, as I read this, this is what I feel is being revealed to my heart, that we need to be grounded and rooted in love. And this brings me to the place that I can now move and comprehend God with you. This takes effort on both sides. If we're going to comprehend, it's not one-sided. We like it as long as it's serving us. But love takes two people moving towards each other. And if the other one is not moving, then you've got to love and serve until they start to move. Glory. Long suffering. Gentle. And kind. There's one thing that I find. When we say do things in love, when it says when you administer to somebody discipline, your children or whatever, you do it with love. Do we know what that means? Some of us, you know, for us to discipline, it hurts us more in them, so we don't. Right? It's not worth it. It is worth it. Love disciplines. God's love disciplines you. You think God's love doesn't discipline? Now, discipline is not always like we think. It's punishment. Discipline is giving us a direction to move and moving in it. Discipline is part of training. Discipline also has a place of punishment if we don't adhere to what God is doing. But discipline, when we hear it, it's dealing with my will so that I can put it into God's will. And I just don't want to go too far there. Right? I don't want to give up the right to myself. I kind of want to do what I want to do when I want to do it. Now, I know you wouldn't say that, but that is the truth. I found it time and time again. I like what I'm doing. Yeah, I know it's wrong, but I like what I'm doing. Unless the love of God can grip us, we'll never stand on God's side. We'll never stand in the reality of this life that He's given to us in Christ Jesus. We need to. And as we see here, we see that together, we can start to comprehend. There is that power, that force that God wants to be a living testimony. We start to comprehend the breadth of all that this is. I mean, how can we understand? I mean, love is so deep, it's so high, it's so around that we can't even reach around it. It involves us. It reached out and involved us. Now, God wants for us to start to comprehend this together. And we don't have time. I'm not being sarcastic. What's first in your life? Well, God doesn't want me just to lay down and do nothing. Nobody said anything about you laying down and doing nothing. Nobody said anything about you not providing men for your families. Nobody said anything about that. Where is the preeminence? Have you ever got out there and tried God and see if God is God? Oh yeah, have you been struggling so long within yourself to be God for yourself that you haven't given Him a chance to be God? He will make a way where there is no way if we just give Him time. We're not going to rush in and say, you know, tell me right now. Tell me what to do. But if we'll trust in Him, He'll make a way where there is no way. Very, very imperative this morning that if we're going to grow, if we're going to move on, these are the areas that we must start with. There's many other things that may come into expression in our lives and through our lives together, but there's one expression, the expression of love. They love one another. They were willing to give of themselves to one another. They were willing to lay down their lives for one another. To know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that we might be filled with all the fullness of God. Are you concerned with being filled with God? That's His purpose for me. When I committed, I have no choice. Understand what I'm saying? When I choose to move out, I'm no longer committed. But when I'm committed, I don't have a choice. My choice is to know the fullness of God. I made that choice a long time ago, and I'm sure that some of you here this morning have made that choice. With that choice comes decisions all along the way. Will I give myself? Will I get out there and believe God? Will I trust God? Can God be trusted? Foolish question. Let me say it again. Can God be trusted? Don't tell me what you think. Show me that you trust Him. That's what we're looking for with each other. I'm not just being mean to you and telling you that. That's what we're looking for out of each other, that we show each other that we trust God. We're willing to get out there and see that God is God, because if He's not, we have nothing more than a form of godliness if our God is not alive and in our midst and in our lives. Glory. All right, let's go back to 1 John. Chapter 3, verse 18. My little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. Another translation says, love in sincerity and in practice. That means involvement. That means that I've got to be active. Because we can fool each other by just saying we love each other and hugging each other around the neck once in a while and these things, but John is saying here it's got to be in sincerity and it's got to be in practice. You know, it's got to stand the test. The long run. It's the only thing that's going to bind us together. It's the only thing that's going to bring a family together is love. Nothing else. The only thing that's going to keep a family together is love. Why do you think so many are breaking up today? Why do you think there's so many today that are divorced? The love. And I say that because there's, in the realm of those that profess Christ, there's a big percentage that are split. No love. No love, no Christ. Only a form of godliness. I'm not their judge. God is their judge. I'm just saying that love doesn't divide. Love unites. When two people are in love, they're one. You don't divide that. Particularly when the love of God is working. When you profess to know Christ and then something else is happening, you come down, you do not know Christ, you do not have the love of God, you're not willing to give yourself. Serious. This area of love. And it's spoken of so much, and we think we know all about it, that I come to the place that I don't know anything about it. I need God to teach me all over again. Because when I say that, I want it fresh today. I don't want something that's warmed over. I want something that's fresh. I want something that's moving. I want God. That's the only thing that can give me love. It's the only thing that can give you love. Don't tell me you have to understand it. Love has a language all of its own. You don't have to understand love. You experience love. Go ahead and shout. That's good for more than an amen. Shout! Glory. Now the question is this morning, not to get us worked up emotionally, but to get us stirred spiritually. Because the only way that we're going to grow spiritually is to grow in love. Don't tell me you're going to grow spiritually just by doing things. You're going to grow spiritually when your mind is set upon God and moving in love. Love, faith that worketh by love. Man, it's attached. You can't divide it. Let me go back. Stay right there in John. Stay right there in third chapter of John. But I want to go back here to Ephesians a minute. We just finished reading the third. There were some verses there in the third chapter that we read, but I want us to jump over to the fourth chapter in the second verse. These are some of the expressions and attributes of love. Here's what it says, verse 2. With all lowliness, no haughtiness, humble. That's getting on down, thinking nothing of yourself. Humbling yourself under the mighty hand of God. With lowliness and meekness, not thinking anything of yourself. Trusting completely in God. With long-suffering, forbearing one another in love. That's where we start. This is not a mechanical exercise. If you got love in you, it must express. Come on. If you have love in you, if God has deposited in you, there must be an expression of that love. You don't have to work it up. You don't have to do things. It will flow forth from you. Love permeates itself. It touches. It can be felt. Not just emotion. We can know when love is working and when it's just a profession out of our mouth. Then he goes on to say, with all of this here, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. And he goes on with a tremendous exhortation, which we won't go into this morning. There's one body, one Spirit. There cannot be one body unless first we begin with God, and that's love. That's why we've got trouble today. Everything's fighting. No love. Come on, we've got. There's got to be a foundation. The foundation is God. He's the chief cornerstone. Love. Love and all that it means. Let's go back over here to the third chapter of John. Let me just kind of paraphrase this, if you don't mind. Chapter 3, verse 6. Whosoever abideth in him does not live for himself. Sinneth not. What is sin? Living for yourself. Is it not? Living separate from God. That's what sin is. I don't care what expression it takes. Sin is moving separate from God. Moving outside of the limits of the life that He's given to us. Go on. Whosoever sinneth has not seen Him, neither known Him. Little children, let no man deceive you. He that doeth righteousness is righteous, even as He is righteous. See, we have no excuse. How do we know that somebody is a child of God? Because they're doing righteousness. How do we know a child is a son of God or a daughter of God? Because they love. Not because they say they love, but we see it walked out. They love. What's the first requirements of love? Laying down your own self. And if I might add, looking for no return. That's hard. Brother, you don't know how hard that is. I can love if somebody will return something. Come on. Come on. If it's going to work, it's going to work. If it's not going to work, it's not going to work. But I'll tell you this morning, God's love works. You love, you give of yourself, you ask nothing in return. God knows where you're at. God knows what you're doing. Are you looking for His return? Because when you bless others, there's one thing I've found, He blesses you. And it's not always with the approval of everybody else. But He has planted a seed. You're that seed. And He says, now, I want to plant you. Love. Germinate the ones around you. Understand what I mean? Let them see love. And you're not aware of it. If we were aware of it, we'd be out here saying, look, I'm loving. That is not the question. When you love, God can plant you in the ground. And you're not seen. But He knows you're there. And He's planted you there for a purpose. God doesn't do anything without purpose. We think He does, but He doesn't. He that committeth sin is of the devil. The devil sinneth from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that He might destroy the works of the devil. Whosoever is born of God does not commit sin, for his seed remaineth in him. He cannot sin because he is born of God. In this the children of God are manifested in the children of the devil. Whosoever doeth not righteousness is not of God, neither he that loveth not his brother. But I love my brother. Give yourself. If we get used to these areas, and I don't say this in a light manner, but if we get rid of trying to tell people that we love them and show people that we love them, we'd be a far ahead of the game. There'd be something working. Show people. Show each other. Just don't tell people. Now, I'm not saying that we don't tell people, because there's that place of telling. But there's a greater place of showing. We need to really reveal that this is working. If God didn't reveal that He was love, we would know nothing about love. But He came and He revealed love in the flesh. And that's exactly what's being revealed through us. It's the very love of God. It's the very life of God that is being expressed. It's the ability that He gives. It's in the power of the Holy Spirit. Love is one of the fruit, is it not? Of God, of the Holy Spirit, is one of the fruit. In other words, when we're abiding in Him, this fruit is going to be coming out. Now, the thing is that we get so taken up with ourselves, we don't have time. It takes time. Let me illustrate to you. I've already made certain remarks. But you plant a seed in the ground. It germinates, right? It starts to grow. And pretty soon, something pops out of the ground. There's already something happening in there. There's a root system already starting to form. God came along and He put a deposit in your life. What did He deposit? Talk about anything you want to. He deposited love. That's right. He deposited one thing. Himself. God is love. He deposited in you His divine nature. He gave you something that you didn't have. Now, in a short time, something should be coming out of your life. You know, coming above the ground. And if something's going to come out above the ground, there's got to be something in the ground, right? For me to have an expression out here, I have to be grounded in God. I have to be rooted on down into God. For something to be expressed out here, for me to give myself, my roots must have gone down into God. I must start to do one thing, enjoy God for God Himself. I'm not enjoying God for what He can do for me. I said a number of years ago, if God never does one more thing for me, I can never do anything that can compensate Him for the love that He's already shown. I don't need the blessings of God for me to love God, because He gives you the ability to love. He gives you the ability. We don't have ability in ourselves. This ability comes from God. God so loved us, and because He loved us and deposited, He didn't take and stir our emotions. He never stirs our emotions. He always comes and gives us something that will work. Something that's going to stand the test. Because one of the things that we fight is our emotions, living in our emotions, how we feel. We fight our minds, what we think. We've got to let our memories just come back and forth with all of these things. Love is steadfast. Come on. I'll read it to you in a minute. Love never fails. Glory. You tired of hearing about love? I'm not. So we're going to hear about love. We're going to see love. And not because we're trying to put on an act, but because that has sprouted out from the ground. Something has overflowed in your life. And you're willing to give. You don't have a choice who comes along and picks your fruit. Right? We like to say, well, I'm going to give this one, I'm going to love this one here, and I like the way this one looks. No, no. You don't have a choice when it comes to that fruit that's coming out of your life. God allows Him to come by and pick your fruit, and you can't say you can't have it. I'm in God's hands. He can hide me. He can reveal me. He can do anything He wants to me. He's the one that should be glorified in our lives, each one of us. It takes time with God. It takes time with each other. It's got to have time to overflow. We've got to take time. We can't be discouraged, because I know how easy it is to be discouraged when somebody's not responding to your love. Love asking no response. Do you understand that, what I'm saying? Does everybody understand what I'm saying? Love without asking anything in return. My love, I am loving as unto the Lord. I'm not looking for the approval of man. I'm first looking for the approval of God. That doesn't mean the love will not take and bring us together and make us one. It will. But if I'm not ministering and loving God and Him alone, then I'm loving for my own selfish gain. Love is sincere. It's pure. Hallelujah. All right, we're going to go back to... I've run over time, but... Are you tired out and want to stop?
No.
Like, give me another, at least another 10 minutes. I might not take that long, but I want to go back and I don't want to do this just one time. I guess I've read this, and in the last two or three weeks, I don't know how many times I've read. I'm not even going to try to tell you how many times, but Lord, give me understanding. Thirteenth chapter of 1 Corinthians. Don't tell me you know all about it. Just let these things kind of wash you. Because they do that. Love or charity suffereth long. Not 2 days, not 3 days. Long. How long is long? Come on. You see what I'm saying? We're willing to wait 1 day, 2 days, 3 days, but love suffereth long and is kind. Many times we get a little disturbed and we're not so kind. I hope all of us are willing to be truthful with ourselves here this morning, because if you're not, then you have no way to open up to God and say, God, I need help. God, you be God in my life. Love is kind. Love envieth not. That has to do with, I don't want anything for myself. Paul said something about losing everything that he had. Every status that he had attained, he lost it. What did he count it as? Dung. Love vaulteth not itself. It's not proud. It's not boastful. It's not puffed up. Does not behave itself unseemingly. All of us need to take faithful attention. Now, you say, I can do that. No, that ain't what we're talking about. It's not what you can do. It's what God can do. I'm talking about love filling you to overflowing, and love will do just this. It will not behave itself unseemingly. Love will not behave itself unseemingly. I need to be filled with love. Not with ability to do something for somebody, but the love that will give of ourselves. Love seeketh not its own. Love is not easily provoked. I'm sure that it can be provoked. But it's not easily provoked. Love thinketh no evil. I don't allow my mind to think evil. Even of people. That's what we're dealing with. People, each other. Love does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in truth. Love beareth all things. And I'm not saying we don't have some difficult things to bear. Love beareth all things. If it was easy, we would need love. But we need love to bear all things. Come on. Is that true? Come on. If some of you be truthful, some of the hurts, the testings that you've been through, without the love of God, you would have folded. You would have crumbled. Come on, I know. Love beareth all things. And it comes through rejoicing. Brother, when we move through those pearly gates, we have overcome. We have overcome all of these things. Why? Because of the divine love of God in our hearts. Nothing more than love is going to overcome. Try it for yourself. But that's the conclusion I have come to. Love is the only thing that overcomes. Love is the only thing that tells me it bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. I'm left breathless with His love, knowing that He gives me the ability to do these things that I don't have it within myself. But I have to take time. I have to let this love that He's planted, I have to let it grow in my life. I have to let it start to control my thinking, control my will. Last remark. Love never fails. You're seeing failures all around. You can mark it down. It's not love. Love, listen to it now. Love never fails. Other things may fail. Man may fail. Love never fails. If you read the first part of this, you'll see that people can do a lot of things on their own, by their own steam, their own ability. But it's like tingling cymbals. Just clanging without love. You can say that you have faith to remove this mountain. What means? Without love. To me, love is a secret. You can't read John and not know that love is a secret. You can't read about Jesus and not know that love is a secret. You can't have a revelation of Jesus Christ and the cross without realizing that love is a secret. Love is the secret. Lord, make us love. He's deposited in those of you that have come to Him. He has put that deposit within you. Let it be rooted and grounded. Let it spring up. And then let your life be a fragrance. Not because you're trying to shine. You're shining because He's shining. You're giving yourself because He's giving yourself. He's doing what you can't do. Because none of us can do what this chapter talks about without Him. Unless I have His love, I will fail. You will fail. Unless you have this love, you have no purpose in life. Only self-gain. And it's short-lived. What you can have for yourself. We have a hope. And our anchor holds. Glory. The only thing I can say to you in closing this morning is, read that again, time and time again, and let God speak to your heart. Take time. That's only the beginning. Just to kind of let that love be watered in you. Because when you come to the place you say, I can't, He says, I can't. Hallelujah. And you'll have to say, when you come to every one of those, you'll have to say, I can't. And you'll hear Him say, I can't. If you could do it on your own, you wouldn't need me. Love never fails. Praise God. Like a lot of people think, you know, well, I want to have a good time right now, but later on I'll accept Christ, because they think that Christ takes the fun out of your life. That's not true, young people, or older people. That's not true. He puts the fire in your life. He puts something in your life that the world cannot put. What the world has is not lasting. What He gives is lasting. It's enjoyable. But we're going to come His way. He said that. And this is not me speaking this morning and saying this. He said, there's only one way. There's only one way to know this working that we're talking about this morning. And He began to work in you by starting to woo you. He's continuing to woo us. The Holy Spirit is there to lead us into all truth. Glory. And that's what He brings us to. That's the word we can't define. But that's the ultimate goal of what He's doing. Glory. So may the Lord speak to us. If it is spoken to you this morning, I'm sure that it will be evidented in your life. We're not here to prod, push, or shove. We're here to lay the word before you. It is His love. We're here because of His love. If you want to go on, it's going to be because there's a love relationship between you and God. If you want to give all to see His purpose worked, it's going to be love worked in you. He can do more than you can even imagine this morning. More. Not less, more. We can't even imagine in our mind what God can do or what He's prepared for us. But He continues to reveal little specks of it by His Spirit, opening the door more and more to the heart that was laid down for us. Could we just take a few moments this morning to be still in His presence? Just kind of bow your hearts before Him here. Pray that the Holy Spirit would speak. I trust that He has spoken, but that He will continue to speak to us individually here this morning as we are still before Him.